Good morning, everyone. Well, the Senate Democrats had their 60 votes to start debate, and now there will be weeks and weeks of debate and amendments on the health care reform bill. The procedural vote started the debate, and it took place on Saturday night. How long will the debate go on? Well, we have with us Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, and Theda Skocpol, who's the professor of government and sociology at Harvard University. We were talking to there at the top of the hour. Todd, do you think that the Democrats are going to have 60 votes to end debate when the time comes for that?
John, we got to see around a lot of corners to know that. There's really no way to know right now, except that the Democrats have such a huge political premium on getting this done that it's hard to, you don't want to imagine a scenario for their own political prospects anyway where they wouldn't put together a compromise that'll get this bill off the floor. And just to refresh memories real quickly, you have Joe Lieberman, Ben Nelson, Mary Landrieu, and Blanche Lincoln, all of whom have said in one form or another, for one reason or another, that they will not vote at the end of this debate the way they voted on Saturday night. That means a lot of compromise and a lot of amendments. I spoke to Ben Nelson, the conservative Democrat from Nebraska, who's been at the center of this as he was coming off the floor on Saturday night in the Senate. And I asked him, is this just a question of nuance, getting this bill off the floor, or do you need to see significant changes? He said, I've submitted a list of changes in principle to Harry Reid that I need to see before I can vote for this. Nuance is not enough. I need to see major systemic changes in this bill.
The Nelson ultimatum there. It sounds like...
And he's not the only one.
Right, exactly. So there's ultimatums all over the place.
Yeah.
Theda Skocpol, you know, people who are students of Congress in the last couple of administrations might conclude that, there was no child left behind. That was a Bush administration initiative that was significant legislatively, although it was an unfunded mandate, essentially, or, say, the passage of prescription drug reform on Medicare. But, of course, that's a program that already existed. How would you distinguish this program from and the ambition of this legislation from others in the recent past?
Oh, I mean, this is the most ambitious we've seen since the attempt to do a similar remake of the regulatory and financial structure in healthcare in 1993-94. You know, this is, what, a sixth or seventh of the U.S. economy that we're talking about, a complex set of public and private programs covering people and improving the insurance for all those who already have it, changing the incentives in the profit-making system and the healthcare delivery system. It's hugely ambitious.
Has the House and Senate worked as they were intended to work in fashioning this legislation based on your read of the Constitution and history?
Well, intend. I mean, I can't imagine that the founding fathers ever imagined Joe Lieberman. I mean, It's definitely the case that they designed a Senate to represent states, which means not population, the founders, and to cool down initiatives that might get going in the House. But we have Senate rules now interacting with a fanatically determined minority that really is slowing down decisions even to decide for months at a time. I don't think that was quite envisaged.
The 60-vote issue was the ghost that haunted even the committee deliberations on this bill. Todd Zwillick, has the committee structure worked as well as it was expected? And compare this to, say, civil rights legislation back in the 60s.
Yeah, the committees have actually worked fairly well in this case. Five committees, you know, of jurisdiction reporting out means making a bill and voting it out of committee. Five committees of jurisdiction did it, and the leadership on both the House and the Senate side stitched them into bills that have gotten to the floor. So that process has worked fairly well. You know, I hear Theda talking about how the founding fathers never envisioned a Joe Lieberman, you know, and getting 60 votes to even start talking. You know, it's interesting, John, because this, what we've seen in the last several months and the machinations just to get to 60 votes to get this on the floor, that's nothing. It's nothing. You know, the filibuster rule used to be 67, not 60. It used to be even harder to get a bill on the floor. Actually, the Senate majority has it much easier now than they did before the 1940s. And, you know, looking at civil rights, as you mentioned, you know, Congress passed some civil rights measures after the Civil War and Reconstruction. But from 1938, you know, in 1938, there were lots of anti-lynching bills that were introduced and passed in the House. And in the post-war period, when it became clear that African-American soldiers had, you know, fought and died in Europe and Asia, people started to realize that it was unfair to have segregation and anti-voting laws and anti-voting culture in the South. I didn't know this, but doing some research, you know, civil rights legislation passed in the House in 1946, 47, 48, and 1949, and 1950, only to be dashed against the Senate, which refused to pass it because of the power of the Southern filibuster. And it wasn't until 1957, of course, after the famous filibuster from Strom Thurmond, that they passed any civil rights legislation, which was very weak. And then not until 1965, when Lyndon Johnson was president, that that civil rights legislation had any teeth. So this is this health care debate is only a small, tiny version of what the country and what the Senate and House went through to get civil rights.
Theda Scotchpole, do you think that the Senate is doing its traditional role, holding back significant change until the last minute, warily eyeing legislation like this?
I think it's true that civil rights legislation and anything to do with the place of African Americans in the legal system or the voting system was more clogged up from before the Civil War through the 1960s than anything we see in healthcare or social policy. But we need to keep in mind that over the last 20 years, the use of the 60-vote standard to prevent things from moving to get forward at all has been taken to a post-war, post-World War II extreme by conservative Republicans. This is really a movement interacting with the rules of the Senate. And remember, when the Republicans had their majorities under George W. Bush, Jr., they successfully pushed back informally against the Democrats and kept them from invoking the same kinds of frequent votes.
Well, these dynamics complicate and assist in the passage of health care reform. Theda Scotchpole is a professor of government and sociology at Harvard University. Todd Zwillick, of course, Takeaway Washington correspondent. We've been asked.